Welcome back to the Embodied Leader Podcast, a place where you can get to know your nervous system better so you can show up in your life and work with airtight integrity and powerful purpose. Gone are the days where we push ourselves and the people we work with past our limits to our highest selves, or where we assume that the solution to all of our challenges is a mindset shift. This, right here, is where we trust the wisdom of our bodies and have a keen understanding of our nervous system as a leading edge to hold sacred, harm-free space for ourselves and the folks that look to us for guidance and support. The coaches and leaders of the future understand trauma and how it relates to the nervous system, and they know how to navigate their work through this lens. I'm your host, Elise Bessler, voice and embodied life and leadership coach, and I am happy you're here. Pull up a comfy seat, grab a bevy of choice, and come on in. All right, you epic humans, if I know you, and I feel like I know a lot about a lot of you from the messages that I've been receiving in response to this podcast, some of the most requested information has been for me to chat about felt safety and safe spaces and really how to be able to feel that for ourselves and, more importantly, how to create and hold them in the work that we do as coaches and leaders. And I'm glad. I'm so glad. Because this safety piece is one of the tenets of being an embodied leader. Now, there's a whole module on creating safe and inclusive containers in the Embodied Leader Incubator, which is a new group program I'm hosting that kicks off on September 28th this year. That's 2023, by the way, depending on when you listen to this. I included this module in the program because of the weight that felt safety holds in our work with clients. Now, that brings me to today's subject, which is part three of a four-part series on the mistakes I've made as a coach and leader and how I fixed them. Now, this week, I'm talking about how I assumed I was a safe space for my clients. I used to have a headline on my website that said, "This is a safe space for you to become more of who you're meant to be." I thought at the time that by me saying that so overtly, it would welcome prospective clients into my orbit with reassurance. And it did. Well, kind of. I mean, I'm sure that seeing that headline on the website might have helped some people to feel safe, but the truth is, I actually could never really know. I myself used to be drawn towards coaches and mentors that said they were safe for me. As a woman who lives in a large body, I was always on the hunt, still am, for spaces that I would feel safe in. And that's because I haven't really felt safe in many spaces throughout my life. My nervous system kind of always is on edge, or was always on edge, kind of anticipating the next joke or the next rejection from a social group. And then, inevitably, in these coaching containers that I sought out, my lived experience wasn't honored, and I was told that my struggles were actually a mindset problem. And guess what? Well, surprise, surprise, the space didn't feel safe anymore. As a coach myself, I started to wonder how I could create safe spaces for my clients. If I was feeling that lack of felt safety when I was being coached, and I didn't want my clients to ever feel that way themselves, what could I do? Well, as with many of the other shifts that I've, had in my life and my business when I became trauma aware, everything changed when I started studying the nervous system, and in particular, how felt safety is even cultivated within each and every one of us. I realized very quickly that my desire for people to know that I was a safe space was actually the first red flag. Advertising I was a safe space didn't actually make it safer. It was just lip service. Because if they were pulled into the space based on that statement, like I, you know, also had been early on with my own coaches, and then a rupture occurred in our coaching relationship, and a rupture is essentially when that felt safety between two people is, well, ruptured, their own nervous system is going to tell them that it's not safe. And guess what? That promised safety is broken. Now, I have a hot take on safety in our coaching containers that I'd like to share with you. And then I'm going to get to the juicy stuff, the real reason you're here today on this episode. And that is how you can create felt safety and inclusivity in your spaces. The hot take is none of us can actually decide that our space is safe for others. Safety is a felt sensation within each and every one of us. Nobody knows what safety feels like for me, and nobody knows what safety feels like for you. So we don't get to decide that for anyone but ourselves. That's it. That's the hot take. So you might ask, well, how do I make my space safe? Well, I have three things that I'd like to share with you today that you can start doing right now, like immediately, to start making your spaces what I like to call brave and compassionate. When we center bravery and compassion, there's a greater chance that the space will feel safe for our clients. And that's because of how we show up in the space. So these are all things that I added into my own coaching practice, and it made a huge difference in the way I was able to hold that space and also how my clients then reflected back to me their own felt sense of safety. So number one is to work on your own felt safety at the nervous system level of your body. The nervous system is the operating system of the body, and knowing what felt safety feels like for you, like for yourself, means that you'll likely show up regulated and then be able to co-regulate with your client, which is when you can use your tone of voice, your breath, your own nervous system to help regulate them. This means you'll be less triggered, less likely to coddle, less likely to fawn or to give advice instead of coaching. Raise your hand if you've ever done that, given advice instead of actually coached someone. And most importantly, you'll be embodied in your own personal power. You'll mirror that to your clients, and the chances of them feeling safe, as I mentioned before, are much, much higher. Number two, believe your clients in their lived and felt experiences. When you affirm that they and they alone are the sovereign of their own nation or their own body, it will also affirm that what they're experiencing isn't bananas or isn't untrue. If you do use mindset work in your coaching, be sure to offer felt safety and nervous system regulation exercises before, during, and after that mindset work, because this is how we can avoid causing harm to our clients when we're doing mindset work. I mentioned earlier that my own experiences with mindset work felt more like I was being gaslit than supported, and that's because I wasn't believed in my own lived experience. Number three, learn about stress responses and trauma, and then how to navigate your work through the lens of trauma awareness. Now, I'll reiterate here, I've said this before on the podcast, this isn't about becoming a trauma therapist. In fact, I would say the trauma doesn't even need to be a part of the conversation with your clients. In order to hold true trauma-informed space, it's important for us to know when they are having a stress response and how to support them back to their own felt safety. This, my friends, is the future of coaching and leadership. Then, the people we work with get to decide whether or not the space is safe for them to open up and for them to dive further into our work with us. Safety in the coaching relationships we build begins at the very beginning. And for many of us, this is on a sales or discovery call. When we center personal agency and consent, The predatory practices many of us learned in our own coaching certifications when it came to learning how to run sales calls are replaced with dignity-centered conversations that allow our prospective clients to hold on to their autonomy in their decision to work with us. On request, and I say that in all caps, I've created a free resource for you coaches out there, and it's called the Dignity-Centered Sales Conversation Framework. And it's a PDF guide that holds the keys, or some of them, to making sales conversations feel good for everyone. Click the link in the show notes to download your copy today so you can start cultivating cultures of safety and dignity within your own client communications. Doors to the Embodied Leader Incubator are officially open. There's also a link in the notes that will take you to the sales and information page for this program. And you'll see on that page that much of what I chatted about on this episode is what I'll be teaching in the course. There's a BIPOC equity pay available and also an extended payment plan if that could feel supportive to you. I'd love to hear from you about today's episode. So drop me a line via email at hello@elisebessler.com or over on Instagram at Elise Bessler. And if you liked this episode, please consider writing a review or dropping a 5-star rating. It really helps this podcast get in front of the people who might find it supportive. See you next time on The Embodied Leader.